Come over here where I can see you, Lily. You and Carl. Isn't she precious? Isn't she beautiful? Her name is Lily Rose. She's got her two flowers. Lily Rose. She is so smart. Mr. Randy says she knows the Word of God, doesn't she? Knows the Bible, and she's so smart. Astra and I said, I was over here doing my verses. I said, what comes after one? See, she was standing there in the corner looking at me. I said, one, two, two. What can I say? Then three. I said, how far can you count? She goes, to 100. I said, great. I said, you want to do it for me? Man, not in the mood. Okay, just thought I'd ask. Because I was willing to hear her count to 100 if she wanted to do it. But we want dedicators. You can see on the screen, 1 Samuel 1:27 says this. You can look right there, Carl. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Next verse, Brandon. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he or she lives, he or she shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. As we know, nothing is ours. None of our possessions, not even our children or our families are really ours. God gives us our families. God gives us our health. God gives us all resources, all possessions. Kind of on borrowed time, doesn't he? For us to have them while we're here, to use them, to love them, to benefit from them, to have a blessing in our lives. But God gave this child to Carl. All life comes from the Lord. And Lily, what we're going to do tonight is just pray for you and anoint you with the oil there. And what we're going to ask God is that he watches over you all of your days. He keeps you safe. And that when it becomes your time to really hear from God, that you'll accept his offer. That when he knocks on your heart and says, Lily, I want to be your Lord and Savior. I want to be your God. That you say, yes, Lord, I want you to be my God. And so we give our kids to the Lord until that time they can make that decision. So we're going to dedicate Lily Rose. Lily has a wonderful father with Carl as well and wants to teach her the truth and the Word of God and loves her so much. And he's a good dad. He's a good dad. Stretch your hands toward Lily right now as we just pray over her life. Father, we anoint Lily with this oil, representing, God, that we are giving her to you. There will be many things in her future that will try to derail her, that will tempt her, that will try her, that will test her. There'll be many traps the enemy will try to set. But we this night present Lily Rose into your bosom, Lord, into your hands of grace and mercy. That, Lord, you will watch over her. You will seal her from every plague, from any evil that shall try to befall her. We give her to you. And that, Lord, one day there'll be a moment you will pass her way and call her name. And she will hear your voice. And she will surrender to that voice and say, yes, Lord, I give myself to you. We pray for her this night that she is yours. She is lent to all of us here in this earthly time. And we thank you for this precious gift of life that you've given Carl as a father. In the name of Jesus, we pray this prayer. And the church said, amen. Give her a hand. Isn't she precious? Thank you, baby. That's good, thank you. Carl, you got anything you want to say? Didn't give you a chance to speak. You got anything you want to say?
Oh, yeah. One of the most happiest moments I've had in a long time. I've been away for about 7 years, and just watching my daughter be dedicated into the truth in God is a blessing. And I want to tell you all, I love everybody here, and I just can't wait for that day that she comes to James or to me and says, I've been called by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's all I'm hoping. So please always be in prayer for her and my 13-year-old son who can't come with me, but I still pray for him. But this is one of the happiest days I've ever had. I want to thank y'all for sharing. sharing that with me and Billy.
Amen. Carl goes way back to the fire department days in the very beginning. So we're thankful for him. He's a blessing. Kids, ready for Sunday school? Peyton, are you, children's church, Wednesday school. Are you ready for Wednesday school? Y'all are dismissed. Hey, Peyton. Woo, getting some boys in this church, ain't we? On a personal note, before I get into the message, and if I just, a lot of you do know, after tonight, the word will get out, so I'll just sow the seed tonight. Me and Melanie have moved. We've moved homes. Been a process for a while, a long while. We sold our house officially today. The check is in the bank. Can I get a hallelujah? And we were very blessed, church. I tell you what we did. We've been wanting a new place for a while. I've been in our home for 18 years, and we're just ready for a change. I always wanted just a little bit of land, not a big land, just a little bit of space. I've always lived in neighborhoods with houses all around me, and my house been on a dime. I wanted just a little bit of space. So we started looking, and God opened a door for us. About 2 months ago, we bought a home. It's up towards Sharon School area. It's in West Iredale. We bought a farmhouse built in 1915, but it doesn't look like 1915, I promise. It's a nice home. We had a bunch of renovations done before we moved in. While we were trying to sell ours, we just had renovations done. It's a farmhouse with 3 acres of land, 3.1 acres of land. So I got me a little bit of yard. I can get away from Melly and my lawnmower and have a place to escape. And I'm really happy. Everybody keeps saying, you got so much to mow. I'm fine with that. So fine with that. I'll tell you how God works. We went by this house to a funeral. Actually, my friend Mike, Pastor Mike's church, had a funeral. We went by his church. We saw this for sale. We seen this house before. Man, me and I was like, oh, that's a beautiful place. Oh, my. It's like an old home place. We're like, oh, I'd love to have that place. One day, Melanie went to a funeral and a sign's in the front yard for sale by owner. What? So Melanie pulled in. Talked to them. They just took the sign out like the day before. Said, yeah, it's for sale, and asked how much it was. And so then she came home and told me. We went and looked at it, went through it, and went back through it a second time and made an offer, and they accepted it. And we still got our house. And I want you to understand how things work. A few years ago, we tried to sell our house. It's on the market for 9 months. We've got 3 kids in the house. Still had Jamie there, a teenage boy. You can imagine how the house looked. And so we're trying to sell a house with 3 kids for 9 months. We had 27 house showings and no offers. 27 showings and no offers. So, I told him, I said, God's closing his door right now. It ain't time. Let's take it off the market. So this time I said, I don't want to go through that again. You know what? We've been praying about it. We see this house. We're going to take a step of faith and just go get this house and then worry about selling this house later. And so we did. We bought the house. We put our house on the market. The first day our house on the market, we had 4 showings and got an offer the first day it was on the market. First day, and it sold. No God was in that. Church, I don't know about y'all. I think that's worth a shout of praise. I mean, that's pretty good to get to sell your house on a first day. That's awesome. Awesome. So we officially moved in yesterday, spent our first night in our new home last night. It was a very tearful night for my family. We've been in that house for 18 years, the girls especially, and Melanie, very emotional. We didn't leave Robin Hood House about midnight last night. Getting everything out of it, mainly sweeping, mopping, getting everything ready for the new people. And it was a very emotional time. Emotional for me, too. I ain't going to lie. I shed 3 tears, I think, per second. And it was emotional. But we're excited about our new chapter. I just wanted the church to know. When I first announced, when Chastity first found out about it, her girl was like, is he going to be the preacher there? Yeah. He's just moving a little bit. So we are going to be in the West Iredale District, a little further from the church. We wanted to be in North Idaho area, just could not find what we wanted with our price range, with land, house, just couldn't find it. Looked, just couldn't find our niche. But we're very blessed. I want to thank Jeremy. Jeremy helped me all day move yesterday. He actually took the day off work to help me move. It just touched me. And so he worked all day. And then my friend Bill come help me too a little bit. But we're in our new home. Robin Hood is sold. So if you come by there to see me, you want to freak out the new people because I'm not there. So don't pull in the driveway. Where's James at? Because I'm not there. We're very excited about the home that we sold because it went to a young couple, probably about the age that me and Melanie were when we bought that house. They got two little boys. I think one's a kindergarten and one's younger than that. And I hope they're very happy in that home. We prayed over our home last night, that home too, that God would bless that family, that they would have many years of joy in that home and many memories made like we did. And so just wanted church to know kind of what was going on and how God moved in that. And we're just... He opened the door, and we're very blessed. And so planted my first garden. I got a garden. Planted my first garden. The thing I didn't know is you don't have to plant seed this late. We should have done plants. We did seeds. We'll see what comes up. Maybe nothing comes up. I don't know. And you know you're new when you go out to Southern States and you tell the guy, he helped you pick out the seed. He says, oh, you're back? I said, yeah. He said, I don't have a hoe. He says, yeah, you're pretty new, aren't you? So, yeah, how to buy a hoe. Planting our first garden, we'll see how that turns out. But we're excited, church, and it won't change anything with the church whatsoever. I've always had a desire to be out and have just a little bit of land. And to me, I know some of y'all, 3 acres is still a dime, but to me, 3 acres is a half a dollar, so to speak. We're thankful. So just wanted church to know what was going on. And so the last 5 days has been moving. Me and Jeremy are sore in different spots. I'm sore right through here in my forearm. I can't pick up a can of green beans. I mean, it hurts that bad. I'm so sore because I loaded half of U-Haul myself and saved some of the heavy stuff I couldn't get for Bill and for Jeremy. Jeremy's sore in the legs. So his lower body, my upper body. So together we're one whole sore body. But anyway, just wanted the church to know. And it was a prayer. Me and Mel have been looking for several years to move. And we're ready for a change. So anyway, just wanted y'all to know that. So I got a big wraparound porch, Grandma. We'll have to have you come over and drink lemonade on our front porch. Talk about yesteryear. Wraparound all the way around. Old-timey front porch. Yep, we'll have to have you over. I'll bring you a cup of coffee, not lemonade, excuse me. I'll bring you a cup of coffee, black and strong. Got it. And I'll bring it to you on the front porch. So, all right. Turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 15. And Melanie's okay, by the way. She is home still, of course. It's going to be several days of this. She's going back to work tomorrow, so she's trying to get some things unpacked tonight that we got to have to function. So we're going to talk about a new season. A new season. You know, sometimes it's hard to let go of our seasons because we're familiar with them. We're comfortable with them. We like them. And new seasons are tough because they're unknown. We don't know what lies ahead in a new season. But God can bless our new season as much or more than the season that we're in. And we're going to talk about that in 1 Samuel because what had happened here, Israel had a king. His name was King Saul. Saul started out pretty good. Good king, righteous king, listen to God, obey God, follow God. But then he began not to follow God. And so there became a problem. So we pick up here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, or verse, sorry, 15, verse 17. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, remember Samuel was the prophet who first anointed Saul. Let's back up a little bit before this. Saul was the first king of Israel. before they had judges. And all the people cried, we want to have a king like other nations. We want one leader, one man, one person in charge. Samuel didn't like it. He didn't want to do that. But the people cried, want this. So Samuel anointed Saul with oil as the first king of Israel. Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought Agag, king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. God does want our faithfulness, our obedience. He wants us to honor him. Look at what verse 23 says. This is off topic of what my message is, but just a good point here. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You know when I first heard that? Jeremy's dad, Bishop Tony Bunton, talked to me about that one time. Never forget it. He told me that. He would say that to me. Rebellion is a spirit of witchcraft. And that stuck with me for years. Rebellion is the same as witchcraft. We know what rebellion is, or we should. Rebellion is doing it our way. Forget what God says. Forget what his word says. Rebellion is doing it our way against any way which God leads us. And many people fail because, that rhyme, it's going to rhyme. Many people fail because they rebel. So think about that. They really do. We fail because we rebel. And God doesn't want rebellion. That's why he loved David so much. David sinned. I mean, David messed up bad. David was an adulterer. David was a liar. He was a sneak. He was, you know, a murderer. I mean, he was a conniver. I mean, David did a lot of bad things. But the difference in David was his heart was always right before God. He didn't walk around saying, so what if I slept with Bathsheba? Big deal, I killed her husband. I'm King David. I'm the anointed of God. He didn't do that. When the prophet knocked on David's door, the first thing he said is, oh my God, I've sinned against the Lord. I've sinned. And he put on sackcloth and fasted all night, repenting of his sin. The opposite of rebellion is obedience. So rebellion is the same as witchcraft and stubbornness. We got any stubborn folks in here tonight? Don't raise your hands. Because Brandon's stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Ooh, bad, Brandon. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Now, I want to make something clear here for some of the religious folks that may have an issue with this. And I don't know. Nobody knows anybody's heart, really, or anybody's future. But the Bible doesn't say here that he's rejecting him as a child of God, or he's rejecting him out of the kingdom of God. He's rejecting him as king. You're no longer able to serve as king because you have failed to do what I've told you to do. So I'm removing that from you. Does it say he's removing his salvation? Does it say he's removing his future inheritance for spiritually and eternally? But he is removing Saul as king. An old season is about to close, and a new season is about to begin. Go to the next scripture. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. That's a big problem, isn't it? Remember the Bible says, do you obey man? You obey God. There comes times in our lives that there's going to be many voices trying to pull us away from the truth of God. And they're going to sound really good and really convincing. A car salesman, there are some of them car salesmen, they can sell you something. I mean, my Lord, they could sell. I can't get an analogy. You know what I'm saying? They're slick and they're good. And they can just sell you anything. There you go. Because their voice. Because we hear the voice. So Saul forgot to follow God's voice and begin to follow the people's voice. Next scripture. Now therefore, please pardon my sin. Return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of God. The Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Next scripture. Now the Lord said to Samuel, now what had happened here? He's rejected Samuel, Saul. So Saul now is no longer there. And Saul fell on his own sword later there to avoid being captured by the Philistines. So now, Saul's out of the picture. King Saul's over. Remember, Samuel anointed Saul. But that season, God closed the door. There are seasons in our lives where God closed the door to open a better door. I know we hear that cliche, but the longer I live, the more I believe that. There are many times that we would not ever go forward if God didn't slam something in our face. We wouldn't ever go an inch forward because we're comfortable where we're at. We're comfortable in what we're doing. Everything is just okay, and so we're okay with that. But God has a bigger destiny or a deeper place or a greater reward that he wants to bring us into. But unless that old season first closes, it can't birth the new season. See, before any new season comes, there has to be an exit of the old season. Nature teaches us this. Many of us are summer people. Some of you are spring people. Some of you are fall people. Some of you are winter. There's four seasons in North Carolina. All states don't have that, but North Carolina has four very distinct seasons, and each one has beauty in its own. Whenever the fall is here, we love fall. Many of us love fall. It's cool. The leaves are beautiful. The mountains, trails are awesome. The air is brisk. The humidity is gone. The sky is Carolina, not Duke, Carolina blue, all up there. And we love it. But you know what? The beauty of those trees we sing is really death. Death giving way unto winter. See, winter doesn't come until fall ends. And when fall ends and all the leaves change and all the trees are bare, then we have winter, old man winter. Then all of a sudden about March around here, something starts happening. About March, we start seeing some grass grow, some flowers bud. We start getting a 75-degree day Monday and back to 45 Tuesday, 85 Thursday and 22 Friday. But what's happening is winter's trying to let go and spring's trying to take over. And there's a battle going on. There's a transition going on. But when winter finally lets go of its hold and spring is here, the last frost has fallen. The first garden can be planted. The blue jays are out and the snakes are out to stay. Then we know spring is here. In our personal lives, we stay stuck in a season just because that's what we think we're supposed to do. But as a mother will tell you, of any child that's had a child, the greatest pain, physical pain I mean, is right before the birth. The pains get more intense. They get closer together. Now, thank God now for modern medication. But back in the old days, you ever watch them old westerns? My God, I would have been within a 5-mile race of my wife. I'd have hearing her scream and holler because the pain. Because right when that child is trying to come forth into its new season, the travail of pain is so bad, but then once it presses its way through, all of a sudden the pain's forgotten because the joy of what you have birthed is so much greater than the pain that you are experiencing. Every season has some pain and every season has some good things, and God wants us to continually evolve from season to season as he takes us. What might have been good yesterday, and see, I get on folks on this because they're always, especially super spiritual folks, talk about, you know what, my church ain't changed in 60 years. By God, and it ain't changed. Fine. Have you got the same cell phone you had 6 months ago? Have you got the same iPad you had 3 months ago? Got the same I know some of you do, because always one in the crowd will raise their hands. I understand that. But as a whole, aren't you glad you ain't got them big doggone TVs with the back end so wide you can't get through a doorway and get a hernia trying to carry it? I loaded all four of my TVs up by myself. That was that easy because they're all little flat screens. Just carry it right out. Wonderful. I had one in the basement years ago. Somebody gave me a big one of them big boxy ones years ago. my Lord, I had to go to a doctor afterwards. It was so bad. I'm just saying. Thank God that evolved. Why do we microwaves. Even my grandma's got a microwave. I mean, think about this. Imagine life without a microwave. All of a sudden, no microwave. Be a lot of skinny people, wouldn't there? Because we use our microwaves. Even though they're killing us, we use them. Because they tell you don't stand too close when it's running. That's not a good thing when they tell you that. Because of all the radiation. I mean, think about that. We're radiating our food. But anyway, it's another story. But we're thankful for it. You put that Chef Boyardee in, 60 seconds, you got a meal. 30 seconds. Oodles of noodles, boom. Thank God. But spiritually speaking, folks want to hang on to that, what I want to call, old-time religion. Used to be a song, right? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Nothing wrong with staying founded on the foundation of truth. But you know what? It's okay to let God evolve you into a new season. It's okay to let God evolve you. Saul wasn't meant to be king forever, but he was meant to be king for a season. Now his season's ended. He's gone. And here's the verse I love. This is the key verse of the message tonight. Chapter 16, the very next chapter, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul?" Church, how long are we going to be victims instead of victors? How long are we going to be weak instead of strong? How long are we going to stay in defeat instead of rising up? How long are we going to blame everybody else instead of looking in the mirror and say, "I'm a child of God. I will rise up and be what God called me to be"? How long am I going to mourn past failures? How long am I going to mourn past guilt? How long am I going to mourn what I should have done, where I should have been, what I should have said? And said, you know what? That season's over and dead. It's time to destroy it and move on into a season God has for me that's better than what I left. Because I do believe when God closes doors, he has a better door for our lives opening for us. I believe that. But many times we don't do that because, once again, the one thing we don't like, I used to be a Walmart manager. As you know, businesses change all the time, Walmart especially. Walmart changes all the time, don't Sharon? Always changes. I mean, you get doing something, new policy, new rule, do it this way, all the time. The one thing I learned as a manager, people don't like change. Well, I've done it this way, James. I've been at Walmart 10 years, I've done it this way. We ain't going to do it that way no more. You ain't going to be at Walmart 10 more years. Isn't that kind of how that goes? I like the old telezons better. I like you how they work, but you got to learn the new one. It's just how it is. It's just how it is. I went to, after we closed our house, we was uptown, me, Mel, and Ashley, went to lunch at Sub Express right there downtown, a little sub shop. Haven't been there in a long time. I said, let's just walk up here to Sub Express, get a sandwich. They got a fancy new little, they used to have that old-timey cash register in there. They got a fancy now, a little fancy kind of computer-looking thing. And I'm like, "Ooh, y'all got a fancy-looking computer thing." I said, yes, that's what she wanted. I mean, Sub Express ain't holding back. They moving forward. The build might be 200 years old, but that computer is new. So I think sometimes we get stuck in a season or think that's how it should always be because it's always been. And God is saying, look, Samuel, you anointed Saul, and he was good for a season, but I rejected him. And he goes on to say this. Look, he says, "Why? How am I going to mourn for him, seeing that I rejected him?" Samuel, I closed that door. Not you, not man. I closed that door. So you should honor what I've done, celebrate what I've done, and move forward because of what I've done. Because I am the one that told Saul he couldn't be king no more. He said, "Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. For God has provided himself a king among his sons." See, when God stops something or changes something, it's not like you don't have a plan for it, for the future. God already had another king picked out. God already knew who it was going to be, already had a plan B. Saul's gone, but I've got another king that's going to rise up in his place. Feel your horn. Church, it's time to feel our horn again with gladness, to feel our horn with hope, to feel our horn. You know, I know that our culture is shifting. I know the world is shifting, but we still are God's people, and we should walk in the joy of the Lord. no matter what we see or what changes. Because the one thing that doesn't change is the faithfulness of my God. That doesn't change. What he did for me, he can do for me again. The same spirit that saved me in 1980 came upon my children and called their name to the very same, not a different spirit, not a different movement, but the same Holy Spirit, the same one that rose the third day is the same one that called my name. Wasn't a different Jesus. It was the same Jesus that called my name. So we got to fill our horn when it gets low and say, you know what? I'm going to go forward, God. You got something better for me. May not like it right now. May not understand it. May be apprehensive, confused, afraid. But Lord, I'm trusting you. You know, when I left Walmart back in 2003, that was a very hard decision, not only financially, but emotionally. Because I was like, okay, this season's over. I want to go forward, God. And I certainly didn't know what was going to happen. I certainly didn't know what was going on. We're coming up on this July, which is a couple of months. It will be 14 years, Living Word, 14 years old. So you know what we're going to do the next year, right? There's a party going on right here, a celebration. 15 years we're going to do something. So I better hang on another year to get the free food. Because 15 years we're going to celebrate the goodness of God. But 14 years ago, I remember like it was yesterday. I quit at 3 o'clock on a Friday, October 31st. It was Halloween. And I was changing costumes. Hallelujah. Changing. I remember where I was parked at. Not the exact space, but the area I was parked in. I'll never forget it. Walking out that door, I knew God was changing my season. And I was scared. You got to understand, looking back, it didn't make any sense what I did. I mean, to the common person, it didn't make any sense. We're still renting out Monticello Fire Department. Hopefully, we can have service every week and they ain't got something going on. We have no land, no building, handful of very committed, dedicated people. And I quit my job. And it wasn't I was lazy. I love to work. It wasn't that at all. God was changing my seasons. And here we are almost 14 years later. And we're getting ready to, as we add on to our next thing, we're changing seasons again. So excited. Changing seasons again. Getting new facility space. Adding on physical space to be able to do more things in our community. More things in the church. So excited. Am I scared? Yeah. Because we got another mortgage. But you know what? It's time. And the timing is right. And I know God is going to provide just like he did the first time when he paid the land off. And the second time when we paid this building off, he'll show up again. There is no doubt. Because I know God is in it. Changing seasons isn't always easy. My daughter, Krista, has had many changes the last month. It's one reason she's very emotional, other than being a woman. She is very emotional because she has lost a lot in the last month. She is done with college. That chapter of her life is over, unless she goes back later for something, but her college life is over. She lived in Greensboro for 3 years in an apartment. That's over. Well, that'll be over at the end of June. She'll be moving out of there. That's over. She lost her Robin Hood house that she grew up in. That's over. And she's moving to Florida in August, leaving her state. That's over. She is so overcome with so many feelings of, man, everything's changing. Everything's changing. And you know what? Change ain't always bad. Change bursts new opportunity. I don't know what's awaiting Christian in Florida other than Mickey Mouse. Other than that, I don't know what's awaiting her. But I know God has a plan because we prayed over this when she applied for the program. And they had like 20 or 30,000 applications and picked 3 or 4,000 people, and she was one of them. It's pretty good odds. I mean, that's a pretty slim percentage. So I know God has a plan for her. And I'm excited to see what that is. 21 years old, moving to Florida. It's a whole new world. It's awesome. All of us, think about your new seasons. Don't dread them, but embrace them. God, what do you have for me next? It may not be what you planned. It may not be what you had hoped for. But as God opens that door, just walk through it and just trust. That door God has opened is going to lead you to where He wants you to be. Next verse. Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.'" So Samuel's making a way to get to Jesse. "Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one that I name to you." Aren't you glad God calls us and not man? And that God approves us and not man? And God anoints us and not man? And God appoints us and not man? See, God's in this. And God was in this season here. God was closing Saul, but He was opening another great man, which would be King David. Next verse. "Samuel did what the Lord said. He went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and says, 'Do you come peaceably?' And he said, 'Yes, peacefully I come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Come with me to sacrifice.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was that when they came, he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" Aren't we great at pointing folks out? Surely that's the one. That'll be the next bishop, the next prophet, the next great thing, the next, you know, thing says wonder slice, white sliced bread. That'll be the next thing. Surely that's got to, how many times in our mind do we have a prefixed idea or a prefixed, you know, notion of who and how God's going to move? And then God just blows out of the water and does it completely opposite. Church, when we put our house in the market, we prayed. But I can tell you, I had no idea the first day we'd get an offer. And then even then, I was, you know, me being a man, and you men can test to this, you know, man was like, "Oh, don't worry." As a man, we're wired different. And the loan process nowadays for a mortgage is a lot more than it used to be. There's a lot more red tape, so it takes about 60 days to close a loan. So, yeah, we got the offer. We're excited, but here's my mind. They got 60 days to back out of this. Ooh, me of little faith, right? Me of little faith. And so I'm sitting there just, I'm like, I gave God praise. Thank you, Lord. But it was kind of like one of these. Thank you, Lord. I hope it works out, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the offer. I sure hope it comes through, Lord, in 60 days. Because, man, things change. Lord, don't let them die before He signs the law. You know, all these things happen. Lord, let it come through. Because we really need to sell this house. And so, we have this and I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but it was absolutely, effortlessly the same couple that made an offer. We had no, it's all worked out and boom. It was amazing. But we sometimes want to pick and choose how God should move, how it's going to work out, and God's got His own way of doing things because He wants to be God. He wants to show you that my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Next scripture. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature." Remember old Muggsy Bogues? Any basketball players here? Old Muggsy Bogues from Wake Forest. Little short guy. Went to the NBA, played for the original Charlotte Hornets. Muggsy was about 5'4", 5'3", I think, actually. 5'3". Muggsy Bogues. I said Bugs. Muggsy Bogues. I used to watch that kid play. He was amazing. Dancing among the trees, weaving himself, 5'3" among 7-footers. Can you imagine if he first went in the NBA? I'm guarding that. Yeah, just try. Oh, where'd he go? Like Speedy Gonzalez. Underlay. You know that cartoon? That's how he was. Little Muggsy, 5'3". For years, he was a star, solid NBA player. He defied all odds. If I'm a scout, my first idea, even though he was good at Wake Forest, my first thought was, man, no, 5'3". 5'3". Spud Webb, same way. And Spud Webb could dunk. He was about 5'7". He could actually dunk a ball at 5'7". I could barely touch the net right now. A little bit more weight trying to carry up. But 5'3". Sometimes we look at the physical, and we judge that today. It's been a proven fact. People walk into a store. If a man is dressed up, he gets treated different than a man not dressed up. It's amazing when I go to the hospital to visit people. I don't always dress up. I do most times, but sometimes I don't. It depends on where I'm at. If I got to just break away what I'm doing, I'll go. And it's amazing when I'm walking through the hospital in a tie, the difference I get response. I could be a bum standing at McDonald's asking for food, just happen to find the suit. You don't know who I am. But you're giving me that credit because of how I look. Period. God doesn't look at our natural abilities. God doesn't look at where we came from or our past failures or our past mistakes. God looks at a clay that he can use. That's it, period. He looks at a heart that is willing to serve in whatever way. You know, Courtney, back on the back row, if you missed Sunday morning, you missed a powerful, powerful service. God was in the whole service. She sat on this stage and gave her life story of where God had brought her from and what she had been through. It was beautiful. But Courtney came to me about a month ago. I said, you know, anybody wants to ever serve or help in the church, come let me know. We'll find something for you to do. She came to me and says, Pastor, I just want to serve. You got anything for me to do? You know what I had her do? I said, well, I need you to go through the kitchen, clean out all the cabinets and drawers. We got some stuff out of date, been there for several years. We just hadn't done a good job of doing that. Go through, clean stuff out, go through the cabinets, organize. She was so excited to do that. Come over here one Wednesday. She did such a good job, took her two times to do it. I mean, she did it detailed. The only thing she did wrong was she threw Grandma's coffee away. But the coffee went out in 2009. So I think if she drunk that, she'd have been like a Barney Fife at the water cooler. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that stuff had to be walking by itself by now. 2009? Good Lord, that's when George Bush just got out. I mean, think about it. That's how old that coffee was. New coffee in the kitchen. That's good. But Courtney just wanted to serve. And she took such pride in that kitchen. She organized it, cleaned it. She took stuff home and personally washed it and brought it back. Some stuff she wanted to clean. Just to serve. I just want to serve. That's what God can use. A heart that serves. What Jeremy did for me yesterday to help me move. What a servant's heart that is. It's beautiful. What Joe Brown did for years, door knocking on his own time, asking people, inviting them to church, give them a card, give them a word or whatever they needed, praying for them, whatever they needed. Serve. That's what God wants. And Saul had lost that because Saul was serving himself more than he was serving God. So the season had to change. Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature because I have refused him. The Lord does not see the man. The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. This is why it frustrates me with so many churches that put limitations on how someone should look, how they should dress, what they should wear. None of that God is interested in. I'm telling you, God is interested in the heart. What do you have here? Do you love me here? Do you hear me here? Do you want to serve me from here? And we box people out because man tried to say, well, I think you ought to look like this, and I think you ought to look like this. You know, when Joe Brown first started coming to the fire department, remember how you used to dress when you first started coming to the fire department? How'd you dress, Joe? When you first started coming to the fire department, how'd you used to dress? You remember? Full suit. When's the last time you seen Joe Brown in a suit? Funeral, maybe? You know why Joe Brown evolved? Said, you know what? I don't have to have a suit on for my pastor to love me or to accept me or to look like I'm supposed to be this cookie cutter, whatever. Now, I like suits and I like people dressed up and that all looks pretty and nice, but it don't change how God sees us. You think God loves Joe Brown less because he's in a whatever you're in tonight, a turtleneck kind of thing? Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, yeah, look, he has a Living Word shirt on.
I want a new one next year.
He loves you more now. He got that shirt on. but he's in a Living Word t-shirt. Man, some folks would be like, that's so disrespectful. What's disrespectful? You talking about them? That's what's disrespectful, you talking about them. Because I'm going to tell you, people are hungry and starving to be fed. And all they want is to be fed. They don't need a bunch of rules, regulations. They just want to be fed. Give them God. Give them Jesus. Give them grace. Give them hope. Give them truth. Give them strength. Give them peace. Give them power. Give them what Jesus gave you. That's what people are hungry for. And we lose a lot of people because we pick and choose who comes. Pick and choose how they look. Pick and choose what they want. Pick and choose. You heard Courtney say Sunday morning, if you were here, her old church shunned her and actually asked her to leave because she had a child out of wedlock. Well, welcome, right, to the world. So what we want to do is we want to tell someone, okay, you had a child out of wedlock. In the Bible, it talks about, you know, we know that's in the Bible, a sin, so to speak, right? You know, you're supposed to only do that when you're married, blah, blah, blah. Got that. But what good or purpose does it gain Courtney's life to look at her and say, you know what? You had a baby out of wedlock. We don't want you to watch. It's under the blood. Who are we to judge? It's under the blood, and we are not to judge that, period. I've had people come to me, you know, Pastor, I messed up. I did this. They're crying. I'm like, look, we all fail. I like what Courtney said this too, and I thought it was so profound. When she sat up here, she says, we all sin. We just sin differently. I mean, that's about as simple as you can get it. We just sin differently. Ooh, child out of wedlock. Ooh, big fat gossip mouth. Ooh. You know? It's amazing how we want to categorize sins. And my sin is not as bad as your sin. When all sin, as Marjorie just said, all sin, if you're in Christ, is covered by the blood. That's why grace is so powerful. See, this is not taught, church. Many teach our past is forgiven. But Hebrews tells us Christ offered himself once, one time, for all, to obtain eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9:12. How can we get away from that? He's offered eternal redemption, which means I'm going to sin after I've been forgiven. So what does that mean? That he still got you covered. I still got you back. That's what God is saying. That's what grace says. I still got you back. I know you failed. You'll fail again. You'll fail miserably. But I still got your back. For the same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives inside of us. Glory to God. And there ain't no power greater than that. So yes, we mess up. We just sin differently. If you don't report all your income to IRS, are you sinning? I mean, you really are, aren't you? Really? Well, we know y'all. I know some of y'all ain't done that. But you know what? The Bible says, honor those in authority over you. Honor that. Do what's right. Pay Caesar what's due Caesar. Da-da-da-da. All that. We know we report what we're supposed to have. I mean, that's part of what we're supposed to do. We don't like it. And we don't like how the government spends our money. None of us like that. But the point is, if we want to really start categorizing sins, we can use the parable of Jesus, or the time Jesus used, even today. You without sin, you cast the first stone. You know, if Jeremy's back here and he's like, you know, boy, I tell you, that old Marge on that keyboard, I know she does this and that and up there playing that music and I know how she really lives. Now, Marjorie lives fine. I can vouch for that. But, you know, she lives like it's up there playing that keyboard. Okay, come on up here, Jeremy. All right, he's standing here. All right, Jeremy. You say she sins too much, play the keyboard. I do, preacher. She shouldn't be up there playing the keyboard. I know how she lives. Okay. You got any sin, Jeremy? Well, not those kind of sins. Okay. So what kind of sins you got, Jeremy? Can you throw that rock at Marjorie? Can you stand her, look her in her, what color is your eyes? Blue. Can you look at her blue eyes and throw the first rock at her, destroy her life? Are you that good? Are you that clean? And I think most of us would say, heck no. I'm not that clean. Because I do a lot of stuff or think a lot of stuff or say a lot of stuff. You know this, you know unforgiveness is a sin. Unforgiveness or bigotry or racism, hypocrisy, all those are sins. So who are we to say, you know what? See, I'm so thankful for this body. I'm so thankful for the people that God has sent through these doors. I'm so thankful that we're here, all here for one purpose, should be, for one reason. To hear what God has to say, period. Not what man has to say, not who's wearing what, not who's doing this, not whose wife he's sitting with and whose arm he's got around. We ought to be thinking about, man, I want to hear you, God. I want to hear you. If we come in with that mindset, we would leave with so much more. Next scripture. Oh, I'm sorry, we're late. I got to get here. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel and said, neither the Lord chose this one. So all of his sons are passing by, and Samuel's saying, nope, not that one, not that one, not that one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by. Nope, the Lord hadn't chosen this one. Then he said to Jesse, the Lord's not chosen none of these. None of your youngins is ready. None of them's the king. Then he said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Have I seen them all? Jesse said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him down, for we will not sit down till he comes here. Samuel's on a mission. He sent, brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Church, God's appointment is never wrong. And God was opening a brand new door for Israel, taking a shepherd boy, no experience in warfare, no experience in fighting, no real experience in leadership, no experience in government or administrative affairs, nothing. All he did was watch the sheep. He sat there with a staff all day and made sure the wolves didn't come in or the lions or the coyotes or whatever didn't come in. He just sat there guarding the sheep. The youngest, the furthest away from the rightful lineage. But yet when Jesse saw him, or when Samuel saw him, that's the one. One more verse, right? Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Boy, I bet they were mad. Can you imagine that? My dad's number 8 in the family. There was 9 total. He's number 8. Imagine this. Imagine his dad, my grandpa Lewis, had some kind of big inheritance. Well, we all know, back in tradition, the eldest gets a double portion. That's in the Bible, right? Double portion. What if he had a big inheritance and all of a sudden dad, being there at the very end, he got like all of it? I'm giving you all of it. What? He's the baby. He's the other. I was there. He didn't even have the hard time. How many of you? He didn't even have the hard time. You didn't even get whooped. I got beat with a stick. By the time you got up there, he done mellowed out. Whatever. You didn't have to slop pigs and milk cows. They had machinery by the time you were born. We was out there at 3 o'clock in the morning walking 10 feet up a hill barefoot in the snow with pneumonia. Not dad. Think about this. All of his brothers are here, and I bet they're just, I bet I'll be king. Nope. I bet I'll be king. Nope. Then here comes little David, little brother, little sheep herder, little nobody. And he's the one. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Notice what this says. In David's sins, the Bible never talks about him losing his salvation, does it? In fact, the Bible says when David prayed, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Not restore my salvation. God, restore the joy of my salvation. From that day forward, the Spirit of God was upon David. God closed one door, opened another. Don't be afraid to exit your season to embrace the new one God has for you. Transition can be hard and uncomfortable, but it can lead you to where you want to be. Trust that. Trust God has something better for you. New season. Don't be afraid to embrace it. God has new seasons for us, and I truly believe that. Even in the time period we live in, there are new seasons for his people and new seasons for the church. There are new seasons on the horizon. Embrace them. Embrace them. You know, when I left home and got married, I know my dad was, new season. New season. A lot of people have those lonely blues, you know, all the kids, you know, pitter patter, the feet's gone, da da da. Embrace the new season. A new season. Lynn's graduated high school. Rodney, yes. One down, 3 to go. New season. Yes. It don't got to be a sad thing. It'd be a glad thing. New season. We're going to miss Kristen tremendously in Florida, but I'm so excited for her and her season, and I just can't wait to see what God will do for her life down there. I'm really excited. But anyway, new season. All right. Everybody good? Somebody's getting a phone call or text. It's probably one of y'all saying, I wish you shut up and let out. We are. Thank you. All right, well, let's stand to our feet. We'll close out in prayer tonight. If you have an offering tonight or your tithes tonight, you can come put that in the offering plate. And we'll hope to see y'all Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. It's going to be a pretty weekend. It's going to be warm and sunny and maybe too good a weather. So hopefully I'll be here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I think that was my phone. Sorry. Lord, thank you for this service. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can trust when you close a door, you've got something better for us, God. Closing doors may be uncomfortable. Closing doors may seem like an unanswered prayer that you're against us, but Lord, you're for us. And we wouldn't ever move if you didn't sometimes make us detour. And we thank you, God, that you still lead our paths and you order our steps. Let us embrace every new season you have waiting on us, that we walk in it to the fullest, and that we experience it, and that we are a light in that season to those that are waiting on us in that new season. Thank you, God, for all your blessing in our lives, and thank you for your word. Bless the offering, the seed that is sown tonight. We give it to you to be used for your glory, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.